Get going. All right, we're going to go ahead and call the Viridian Farm Public Infrastructure District to order. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen and Reese. We do have a quorum of the board. Today is December 6th. It is 2:35 p.m. So for our call to order, if everyone on the call, if you could state your name for the recording and the record, we'd appreciate it. We'll start with the board. Adam, you're the chair. You want to start?
Yep, Adam Loser, Chairman.
Jonathan Thornley and Scott Bishop, the clerk.
And David Hutchison with CLA.
And that is everyone I show. I don't know if you guys have met Christy Barker. She is our new assistant for helping us with the district. So you'll see emails from her quite a bit. So, Christy, is there anyone at our anchor location?
No.
Okay, we'll get going then. Board, we sent out draft minutes from our last board meeting. Have you guys had a chance to review those? Do they look accurate to you?
Yes, I reviewed them. They look good.
Okay, can I get a motion then, Jonathan?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from the meeting held on October 8th, 2024.
Thank you.
I'll second the motion to approve it.
There you go.
Thanks. Is that Scott or Adam?
Adam can take it.
Okay. Thanks, Adam. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All
Aye.
right. That's unanimous. I'm going to stop sharing, let David put up the financials. So we'll go through the financials first and then over to the budget. So, David.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Oh, a little too much. Okay, so for Viridian Farm Public Infrastructure District Number 1, the financial statements as of September 30th, 2024. In the balance sheet, we have in the debt service fund, as part of the bond fund, $916,627 rounded. In the reserve fund, $564,500. In the capital projects fund, we have in the project fund, $4,733,358 rounded, and in the cost of issuance fund, $356,624 rounded. Going on to the general fund statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balances. We have not had any activity so far to date for the budgeted $15,000 there, and developer advance. In the debt service fund, we've had a transfer of $1,481,127 rounded for those reserves. And moving on to the capital projects fund, we had bond issuance costs of $73,892 rounded. Other financing sources, we had the 5,645,000 from the Series 2024 A bonds, and the 1 million from the 2024 B bonds, and then the transfers out that we discussed from the debt service fund. Any questions on the Q3 financial statements?
Nope, none.
Okay.
Okay, so board, what I'll need then is a motion to accept the third quarter financials as presented by CLA.
Although I make a motion to accept these financials for the third quarter as presented to us by CLA.
Thanks, Scott.
I'd like to second the motion.
Thanks, Jonathan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That is unanimous. All right, let's go to the tentative budget.
Okay. So for the tentative budget, here's the summary of all activity. We've included the 2024 budget and the estimated amounts for the 2024 through the end of the year. I think it might be easier if we just go directly to the funds, and I'll start with the capital project funds and then work backwards. So for the capital projects fund, we have interest income budgeted for the current year of $5,000 with those bond proceeds that we discussed on the financial statements there, and bond issuance costs of $430,416. For the current year, we allocated all. We weren't sure what had been expended or what is planned to be expended through the end of the year. So we wanted to discuss that with you guys to determine if this number is correct or if we need to adjust that down and carry it forward to 2025.
So we had in October, so just past this last quarter, we had reimbursements to D.R. Horton and to Chernobyl, the developers, at 4.7 million. It was 4,733,358.30.
Okay.
So there's what 5,000 left over.
The 5,000 was the interest income that we had anticipated, but that might actually be smaller based on what was spent. But so in that case, I think we ought to just leave that as is, and anything that doesn't get expended through the remaining portion of the year would just carry over into 2025.
Yeah. What fund
And
does interest income go into?
so each, we go back to the financial statements. Whoops, a little too far. Each one of these accounts that have been set up with to have investments in them will generate income, or interest income. And so, depending on which fund it comes out of, cost of issuance, that one would have been for those issuance costs. And I imagine those are all paid by now, too. I just haven't seen the UMB statements yet. And then, so for the capital projects, it'll be in this project fund. Debt service ones will be split between the bond fund and reserve fund. It's just like each one is allocated its balance. They're consolidated in the sense that they're pooled investments, excuse me. But they'll all have their separate balance and earn the interest based on those balances.
Got it. Okay.
Did that answer your question? I wasn't sure if I
Yeah.
got it correctly.
Yes.
Okay,
Yeah.
perfect. Okay, so going back to the debt service fund.
Hey, David, just real quick, Jonathan. So, what's in the debt service account stay in debt service on the interest. Capital would stay in capital. So, what you would earn on, let's say, the capital you could spend on capital projects, what's in the bond funds have to stay in there, and then they would get used to pay down the bonds a little sooner.
Okay.
Sorry, David.
No, you're good. Thanks for explaining that. As far as for debt service fund, we've budgeted in the current year $4,000 interest income, and we increased that to 20,000 for the 2025. Generally speaking, we do fairly conservative estimates on these just to so we don't over budget on revenues. It'd be being conservative there. The funds that got transferred in were allocated to the capitalized interest and the reserve fund, so $916,627 for the capitalized interest, and $564,500 and to the reserve fund. The reserve is out will con will continue to be the same until any or at any point it's drawn upon. It will earn interest, but it's not part of this allocation here of the reserve fund. Interest earned there, like Michael said, would be able to be used for paying down of the debt service. And other than that, in 2025, we budgeted the bond interest payment of $308,613 to have an ending fund balance of $1,196,514. Any questions on the debt service fund?
No.
Okay. All right, and going to the general fund, we have budgeted 2024 developer advance $15,000 to cover administrative costs, $5,000 apiece on those. And then likewise in 2025, $51,000 developer advance to cover these general administrative costs again here, $18,000, $9,000, $4,000, and $20,000.
So that's the developer D.R. Horton cutting a check to the PID.
So generally speaking, what the first few years until the property tax revenues start coming in, the expenses are paid by the developer directly, and then the details provided to us, and we record that as a developer advance. If that makes sense.
So Jonathan, until we get enough either property tax or impact or fees, assessment fees, you guys would just pay like us CLA, but we keep track of those.
Yeah.
We have that administrative funding reimbursement agreement. That's where that comes into play, that once we get those monies in, we can reimburse you guys for those costs. So it's just a small kind of bridge loan, lack of a better example.
Got it. Okay.
Makes sense.
Okay. Are there any comments, questions, or concerns anywhere within the budget that you guys would like to revisit?
I think so.
Okay. The summary page is just basically adding up all of those funds together. So all the numbers together are there, you know.
Sometimes that gets a little confusing when you look at it first.
Right.
Yeah.
Cause it's just a lot of numbers. So
agreed.
And one of the other things, remember this is the tentative budget. So kind of a placeholder. So we can make adjustments if you guys see something that you want to change. David, I forgot on the insurance, go to the 4275.
Oh, yeah, it's at 4,000 here. That's right.
Yeah, so just that small change.
Well, I'll change this to 4275 and then just drop...
drop us and you a little bit.
Accounting and legal down... Just the difference between those two.
Yeah.
Of the other funds, I did, I think it was 100 or an equal amount on each of these and then added 25 to account or auditing. That might be the easiest to make it even.
Yep, that'll work. Board, just so you guys know, we're going to get quotes on the outside audit. So they're coming in based on last year, about 9,000. They haven't got to me yet on what they're going to be, but we're just estimating 9. So it seems like every year, I swear they collude because they're all like within $100.
That's interesting. What firms are you getting quotes from?
So far down, the way we have it now is down south, we've used a company, Hinton Burdick. Up north, we've used a company, Haney and Company. But if you know somebody, Jonathan, get me their info and I'll get a quote from them.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I know a few people, but Tanner would be one that you might look at.
Okay. Who do you guys use a lot? Tanner?
No, I mean, we're publicly traded. It's all handled at corporate. So we don't, we use a large firm. The major firms.
Okay. Well, if you guys know anybody, let me know, because I need to get at least one more quote. So.
Yeah. As far as the developer advance goes, is that a lump sum payment that the developer makes to the PID, or is this, as expenses come in, we fund those amounts?
The latter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if it doesn't get used, then it doesn't get used. So it just kind of a placeholder, like Michael was saying, and then if things come in more than what's typically done, then we would amend the budget and go higher. But typically it's within this range or below, at least
Can't
from our
fathom we'll
assessment.
use, right? I can't fathom we'll use all of it. We just use it as the placeholder. So we just keep track of it, Jonathan. You keep track of it. We'll submit those when we get funds in, submit those reimbursement requests and get it all back.
Okay. There is one other question. Sorry. Christy sent over an invoice. It's from the Utah Local Government Trust.
They're the insurance company.
Okay. So is that part of these general expenses? So D.R. Horton needs to cut a check to the PID for that amount.
No, we pay them directly, isn't that right, Michael? And then we just keep track of that accounting and the PID will reimburse us later.
Yes.
Yes, and quarterly, what we'll do is we'll reach out to you guys and ask you for that detail, what has been paid by the developer, and then we have a software that helps track that, including like the interest income for the accrual basis accounting statements, and once the PID's ready to pay those back, then those funds get calculated in there.
You okay with that, Jonathan?
Yeah, I guess so. For some reason I thought we would pay the PID and PID would then pay the
We
invoices.
could do it that way if you guys have a district account set up, that we could do it that way. If you don't have a district account set up, then we can just have you guys pay and keep track of it the way David was saying. I want you to feel comfortable. So you tell us what you want.
Well, this invoice I'll have to get with the Utah Local Government's Trust and have them revise the invoice just a little bit to show D.R. Horton needs to pay this. Just for our purposes, we need to have the right entity on there that's paying it.
Would
Because
you?
right now it's an invoice to the PID, correct, Jonathan?
Right.
And so for us to process a check, we need to have the invoice come to D.R. Horton, otherwise D.R. Horton can't process the check.
Okay, have you guys set up a bank account then for the PID itself?
We have not.
No, we no.
Okay. If you would rather do it that way, Jonathan, I would say just go set up a bank account in the PID's name. Just use one of the big banks or credit unions. They're on the state's approved list. The state has a list. The state treasurer does. But all the big ones are on it. You could set it up. Now, if you do it that way, what I'm going to say is you would be on it. Adam would be on it. Scott can't be on it because he's the clerk who technically. You and him have to kind of have the separation of duties so you can check and balance each other. So just know when you set it up, that would be the way you would need to set it up. And then we could have it funnel through the district if that's the approach you want to take. I don't care myself. I want you to be okay.
Yeah, no, I don't think we'll set up a separate bank account for this. We'll just pay it from D.R. Horton's account. And do we just send that to David? Or should we send it to you, Michael, or both after we've paid it?
Send it to both of us. That way we have it for the district records. David has it then for the accounting side as well.
All right.
Yeah.
We can do
And
that.
if you wouldn't mind also keeping like a maybe an Excel spreadsheet log of what has been paid. And then we can track that also and just make sure that we've got everything entered in quarterly. If you send them as you pay them, we'll enter them in as we see them, and then we can reconcile that based on your, the Excel spreadsheet. And
gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Glad we talked about that for sure.
Yeah.
No other questions then about the tentative budget?
I have one that's a little bit related. Just questions on how the income, I don't know what the right term is, but the lot owner's assessment fees, the tax levy or whatever it is that comes in, how, like right now we've recorded plats, and so we've got a whole bunch of lots that are owned by D.R. Horton. We've got a portion of PID 1 that's also owned by Grenoble, our off balance sheet partner, and some other raw land owned by, does that come in just at the end of the year when those assessments are collected by the county?
So I'm just looking.
I believe if it's like some of the other ones, these actually get billed out, don't they, to the specific property owners?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we did geo bonds. I was just looking to see. So the way it works is it's going to come in the property taxes. So depending how it's spread out, they were due in November. A lot of people pay them late, right? So treasurers have till, I want to say, January 31st to report to the tax commission. They'll start sending checks out, though, probably by the end of November. So when you guys get those, make sure we forward those on to UMB, since you don't have a district account set up. But then David and his guys, they keep track of them. We'll get a notice from the state tax commission as well as the county treasurer telling us how much has been sent. I don't know if that helps, Scott, answer your question.
Yeah, I guess part of my question is for this last year, we already paid all of those. We got a whole bunch of tax notices, right? John, we paid a bunch of tax notices. Did you see was our PID on those, or do those start next year, or did they not?
They will start next year.
Yeah.
Let me just double check.
I'm pretty sure they start next year. We didn't have any plats recorded until this calendar year.
Yeah. So everything's based on January 1st at 12 o'clock noon.
And it's just based on exactly whatever the value of that lot or home is. If there's no home on it, you'll still pay whatever the rate is on that, the value of the lot, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
And that's what's interesting, because it's literally, the example is, take a picture of that lot on January 1st at 12, and that's what that year's assessment will be based on.
Okay.
So, if there's, say, the footings and you got a little bit of the walls going up, that's what you're going to pay for that year. If there's nothing, there's nothing. So each year it's just different. And I don't know why they pick January 1st, but that's the date they pick. And then everything's always in arrears, like David was saying, with the property tax revenue. Any revenue that we get in 24 really is applied to the 25 year budget, right?
Yeah.
Because that's when it's going to get used up, is next year. So I don't know. Utah's a little interesting when it comes to that stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, the PID, I'm just looking at the State Tax Commission's website right now. We're not even listed yet on there. So the way that works, the assessor will come up with his numbers. He has till May 22nd. They give it then to the county auditor, and the county auditor by June 22nd has to list what everybody's tax rates are going to be. So I'll send them based on, let's see, our tax rate is 5 mils, so 0.005. I'll send him, when we approve the budget resolution in a week or two, I'll send him that resolution with the governing docs. That's what gets put on the PIDS tax rolls. So everybody inside of the district will be charged that amount. That's kind of the process. By June 22nd, we have to have that to them.
Okay.
So,
Thank you.
yep. All right. So, any questions about that? Any more on the budget?
No.
Okay. So, now what I need you guys to do is let's look at the calendar. And I need you guys to tell me by the end of the year a good date. Now, I need 7 days for posting of the public hearing. So, you guys tell us
7 days from now.
at least seven. So it would be the need, it would need to be the week of the 16th.
Okay.
Or I know you probably don't want to do it the following
It could be like
month.
Monday the 23rd or
It
something.
could be, yeah, if you guys are available. Christmas is on a Wednesday.
I
Don't
know.
know if you
I
guys will
think that
work
week of the
Thursday,
16th
Friday.
is great.
Yeah, I agree.
The 16th.
Yeah.
Okay, you want morning, afternoon?
On that Monday the 16th as well, I think afternoon is going to be best for everybody.
Okay.
But we've got conflicts Scott in the afternoon. I have a window of at 11:30. Scott, do you have that open at all?
Yeah, I have 11:30 open. I'm also pretty open on the 17th.
Yeah, I am as well.
Adam.
The morning.
I am with our division president at the Texas Ranch hosting some development partners starting on the 16th through the 19th. So I may not. You guys probably schedule it without me. You still have a quorum unless you need all three of us.
No,
And
I
I'll
just need
just
two of
jump on
you.
where I can.
Okay.
Okay. What time, Scott,
Yeah,
Jonathan?
let's hit it on the 17th. John, you whatever works best for you. I've got some meetings from 3 o'clock on. I'm tied up on the 17th, but other than that, I'm open right now.
Same here. I've got the same time period kind of blocked up for meetings.
Okay.
So,
We're open all day.
okay.
That's the best day for us.
Let's do 9 a.m. Does that work for you, Scott?
Yeah, great.
All right, 9 a.m. it is on the 17th. So here's the motion that I'm going to need. I'm going to need a motion to approve the tentative budget as outlined with the comments that were made, and then to also set a public hearing on Tuesday the 17th at 9 a.m.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to approve the tentative budget for 2025 and also to set a public meeting for December 17th at 9 a.m. to finalize and approve the final budget for 2025.
Great. Thanks, Jonathan.
I'll second
Thanks, Scott. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right, that's everything I show for the meeting. Do you guys have anything else you want to bring up?
Nope.
No, we're good. Thanks, you guys. Appreciate you.
All right, can I get a motion to adjourn?
I'll motion to adjourn.
Thanks, Adam.
Second
I'll second
that.
it. Yeah, that's great. We're both excited
Thanks, Scott.
to second
Yeah,
the
let's get
to
done.
adjourn
All
the
those in favor say aye.
meeting.
Aye.
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 All right. Hey, good to see you guys. See ya.